Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Crescent Discussion Group, Kufar Akbar. And I say everybody just making it just in time. Dr. Kufar Phobia starts a stream at 3:30 my time. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so he starts a stream at 3:30. His streams are going 4 and 5 hours. It sounds to me like he's not going to make it, but look it. He just made it just in the nick of time. Thank you, sir, for coming. Okay, so we are here. Oh, we are here on the Global Patriot Radio Network every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we're live casting on Facebook, the Dr. Eric Smith Facebook page, and the Crossing the Crescent Facebook page, and here, of course, on YouTube. And I wanted to kind of lead off with a YouTube complaint today. I do complain a lot, I guess. I don't know how much I complain on the show here, but I'm kind of a complainer, I reckon. But I'm not, it takes a lot to offend me. It really does. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it really does. If you really, you know, you have to really put some effort into it to offend me. But YouTube really offended me today, and here's why. Well, actually, not today. It was 2 days ago. No, Monday. What was yesterday? Yesterday was Monday. So it was Monday that I got offended, because I got up Monday morning. And I checked, actually, I got up Sunday. Let's see here. I got up Sunday, checked the YouTube page for the Crossing the Crescent. I do that, you know, occasionally. And I was looking at last Tuesday's show, and we had 309 views for The Age of Aisha. And we had Where is Mecca? The Tuesday before that was 120 views, which, you know, we normally, you know, 309 views is quite a few for this channel anyway. We normally get between about 180, 200 views per show. But I was looking at that, and then the next day after the Hatun's Tunes video, she came on, and Hatun came on Sunday, so I took this Monday morning. Now, look at the number of views for The Age of Aisha. Can you guys see that? I got 300 views. And we saw that this one went up by one view. Okay, that's cool. But The Age of Aisha is 301 views on Monday. But on Sunday, it's 309. Now, can any of you guys explain that to me? I mean, do you guys have any expertise in YouTubeage knowledge or... Would they do that, though? I mean, what is the purpose of taking? Okay, let me just. Okay, so this show is having such a profound impact on the world, where now they're targeting the show so it doesn't show up in algorithms. My God. Oh, that's, I don't, I can't stand these social media guys. I mean, Amazon. We all know Amazon. Okay, you never guess how much money we spent at Amazon starting on December 21st to today. $1,692. $1,692 I spent on Amazon since December Well, I don't know. I don't know. And the reason why, well, see, that's a great question. How don't I know this? The Queen and I are trying. Yeah. The Queen and I are cruising around today. She goes, "Would you buy at Amazon for $280? Would you buy at Amazon for $75? What have you been buying at Amazon?" I'm like, you know, because sometimes you get that deer in the headlight, like I did buy something at Amazon, but I got to thinking about it. It ain't nowhere near that amount of money. There's no way that we spent that amount. So we called and what brought this up was that you actually have to scream into the phone customer service 800 times in order to get a human being to talk to you from Amazon. So when we start talking about these big tech giants like YouTube, Facebook, oh, by the way, I read an article today that well, actually, you know, my wife was actually talking to a guy and she said a word that, okay, that she was upset was what she was trying to say. She goes, "Well, I'm very upset with this," but she says, "I'm very jaded." I'm like, he's not going to understand that. Say upset. You go, oh yes. Okay. No, I got it. Cause I mean, I'm not faulting these people, you know, from, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not down with, you know, I'm not down with saying, hey, you know, you need to get a, you know, I'm not talking to an American, I ain't going to talk to you type deal. But, cause you know, you're talking to somebody that's actually halfway around the world when you do something like that. But and your name's not Radical Moderate either. So there you go. Okay. I tell you what, we need to get on topic here. I'm sitting there looking at chat, and chat is, I mean, you got people zooming through the chat today. Thank you for coming, everybody. I appreciate you all coming in there and participating today. Yeah. Okay. What did she do? Oh, yes, Darcy. Yeah. Well, I don't think she had a white Christmas. I think that was Sunday. She was saying they got that. Okay, Andrew, I see that there. I'm going to go in there and I'll look that up after today's show and try to figure out what's going on with it. I don't do this for the views. I do this because I want the information out there. I mean, any voice that rises up against what this ideology teaches and the impact that it has on is just one more voice out there. And the more of us that are out here, the better. Paul, hold on, where'd it go? Hold on, here it is. Hold on, let me get it. Hold on, my favorite people, the Jews, bring me money, don't you see? I keep their flag here, and I fly this flag, and I have been accused of getting a stipend from the Jews for flying that flag in the back of my show. I don't think we're going to hear back from him anytime soon. Well, it was the camel. The Jamal. What was the camel urine one called? Was that Camicola? There we go. Okay, yeah. And you notice, I'm just saying, you know, that I'm not. They cut this capper off. Poor guys. Oh, we. Borg. Oh, okay. Now that I have seen, I haven't seen "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou," but I have seen the Star Trek. Is that where they got the things going through their heads and stuff? Like, okay, I've seen Bjorn Borg on Star Trek. Yeah. 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 Figure the odds. Yeah. Figure the odds. Okay. So, why did Jesus? Yeah. Thank you, Chris, for reminding us to get back on topic, which we haven't even got to the topic yet today. Today's topic, just to be honest with you, today's topic we were going to do on Sunday. Sunday we were going to talk about why Jesus came. And the reason why is because it was like the day after Christmas. But when Hatu Tosh says that, hey, I can come today, would you like me to come on? I'm like, yeah. So you just drop everything that you're doing and you have her on. And we did. And it was just a wonderful time. And I appreciate Hatu coming and Daughter of Christ. And what was it, Sister Kay? Is this Sister Kay? Is she on her program? I don't mean to be mean about it, but that was, I think that's like the first I heard of her. I know who that is. Oh, I know who that is. Okay, so I do know who she is. Okay, all right, got it then, got it. All right, so let's talk about why Christ came. And here's the impetus behind this. When we look at the Muslim Jesus, does the Muslim Jesus sound anything like the Jesus that we find in the Bible? And the absolute answer is no, absolutely not. Well, I have his statements in the Quran. I'm going to get to those. But when we look at the Islamic Jesus, the Messiah, the Quran is silent on even who the Messiah is. They just said Messiah, Jesus. They even use it as a part of his name, erroneously, oh, by the way. And this is the reason why I wanted to talk about this tonight. When we talk about the reasons why Jesus came, and we're going to get to those towards the end, but what I want to do is I want to kind of set a kind of a foundation here of what the Old Testament said and the reason why the Old Testament said and who the Old Testament said was going to be the Messiah. So what I did was I went out and I found a whole bunch of Bible verses, and I'm sure you all appreciate me doing this. I'm going to try to make these nice and big for people to see this way. People who are, because I know some of you guys get on your phone and it's kind of hard for you to see these. But when you look at just some of the prophecies about Jesus, you look at the Proto-Evangelium, which we find in Genesis 3:15. This is right after Adam and Eve's sin. God pronounces the curse on the world. He pronounces a curse on Adam and Eve because you're going to have to work now. Women, you're going to have pain in child labor. The ground is going to be cursed. You're going to have to till it and work it, thorns, thistles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what he does here, though, is he provides us with a hope. He provides people with a hope. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, your seed, there's going to be enmity. I'm going to enmity between you and the woman, Satan and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So what God is saying here, right here in the first chapters of, somebody's got a hot mic there, I don't know who it is. Anyway, here in the first chapters of Genesis, the book of Genesis, God is making a promise, and he is saying, this is my plan. This is what's going to happen. I will put enmity, and this person that he's going to send shall bruise your heel. So he shall bruise your head, and he will bruise your heel. Now, when we look at who Christ was and who this person is going to be, we can go to the prophet Isaiah. Now, prophet Isaiah does a really good job here in chapter 7, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. So when you call, oh my goodness, exactly. So if you have a son and you say that son is going to be God with us, so who does that tell you this Messiah is going to be? I know it's not a hard thing, but you miss all of this. This is why the theology of Islam does not you know, when we start saying, oh, Allah, the God of the Bible, the same guy. No, it's not. It's not the same dude. I'm telling you, it cannot be. The theology is completely inconsistent with what we have in Christianity and in Judaism. Then you get to Isaiah. Let's see. This is Isaiah 9. This is 9:7. What is this? I can't remember the verse. 9. Is it 9:7 or is this one? Yeah, 9:7. 9:6. Okay. For unto us is born a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, El Jabor. Yeah, okay. Excuse me. Okay, so if you're going to call this child given to you Mighty God, what does that tell you about this child? Yeah, that's, yeah. Right. Okay, now let's get to Micah. Now this, I went to, my wife and I, every Christmas Eve, we go to a different church. We go to services from other denominations. And the reason why is because my church doesn't have Christmas Eve services. I've been asking them to do it for, 17 years, and they haven't gotten around to it yet. Maybe next year, who knows? And they might do it next year, because next year Christmas is on a Sunday. Yeah, we'll see about that. Anyway, okay, so let's look at this next one with Micah. And the reason why I said this is because this was one of the verses that was cited in the sermon on Friday night. The preacher talked about this. Okay, so it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the Ancient of Days." So you see this connection of this one coming from Bethlehem, going to be born in Bethlehem, going to be born of a virgin, is coming from the Ancient of Days. So how can this one be coming from the Ancient of Days as a baby, unless this one born of a virgin is God, exactly, is Emmanuel, is God with us? Well, we don't read that in the Quran now, do we? Of course we don't. So let's go ahead. What was that? I like that, the old New Testament. Yeah, well, they do. And see, here's the thing. They know the answers to these things, but they don't want to admit the truth. And when they're told what the truth is, they completely ignore it and keep blabbing on about, you know, their same talking points, even though that they're proven wrong on them. It's frustrating, but you know what? Like I said, enough voices out here to keep on pushing back, pushing. You get enough of us out here, eventually somebody's going to be heard. This next one, this is Jesus speaking before the Sanhedrin. So you'll never guess which I'm going to be talking about here. Exactly right. It says, Matthew 26:64, Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Now, which prophet sits at the right hand of power of God? No, Muhammad is, well, okay. And then look what he says here, in coming on the clouds of heaven. Now look at the reaction to Caiaphas here. The high priest, he says, I don't like it, but all right, I'll take. No, what he did, he says, this, he tears his clothes. The folks, the tearing of the vestments, these clothes that these guys wore, especially the high priest, these things are considered holy garments because of all the stones that they have on there and all the bling. I actually did a paper a long time ago about all the things that what they were supposed to symbolize and which each stone was supposed, it doesn't matter. But he tears this holy garment and does what? He says blasphemy, because they knew exactly what Christ was talking about here. He has spoken, exactly. And who comes on the high clothes? And they knew that they associated that with him. So they knew exactly who he was claiming to be. He was claiming to be God incarnate. Now, if they can't see that, that's not our fault. That is being spiritually blinded to the truth. As a matter of fact, I've been working here the last couple of days on that Putting Jesus in His Place series that I've promised everybody for the past, 8 months. I'm almost done with the slideshows. I haven't started the videos yet, but I'm almost done with the slideshows. We'll get to the videos eventually, but I'm almost done with the slideshows. But anyway, let's go back. Let me go back to this. Well, here you have, and the reason why I brought this up is, you know, that made question, where does God say, or where does Jesus say, I'm God, worship me? You know, it's in the Injil, don't you know? That's exactly where, I mean, that's where you want to tell them. Right, because he did. Go ahead and write it down. Make sure you send me some type of, what do we call that, royalty every time you use it. All right, so who is Jesus himself? Well, look at here. Let's go to John 17:5. When we start talking about the Ancient of Days, coming on the clouds, living in eternity past, here in John 17:5, Christ admits that, and now glorify me with glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So the next question is which prophet pre-exists the creation of the world? If he's just a prophet, how does this work out? How does this work out in your little mind that if he's just a little prophet, that it makes absolutely no sense, you know, and this is right before John 17, am I right? John, yeah, that's right. Yeah. What does 3 say? Okay, yeah, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Yeah, that's what they got. Oh, you're the one true God. But what does that say again with the glory which I had with you before the world? Why would they miss that? I mean, doesn't that seem a bit odd? No, it doesn't. And then, right. Yeah. They don't. Quote mining. All that is just quote mining. They don't want to make any type of practical application of it, cite any type of context in which it was said. None of that stuff ever pops up, and you just get the "How can I tell you that he said that I can do nothing because of, all these things that he says?" He can rattle off like 20 verses in a row, but never gives you at any time any type of discussion, in depth discussion of what those verses mean, and why they were said in the context